I want to share some thoughts relating to the journey from God's perspective that we're on. I love the fact that it will never end. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever just pause to think about the scope of God's plan and it starts to fry your circuits? I mean, that we will know one another forever and ever and ever. And ever. It's truly amazing. The scope of who God is, but also the plan that he has for us. And I want to read the verse which Lynn shared earlier in the service. And just for us to use that as a starting point. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Well known. And very well known in relation to the Christmas season, which we've been celebrating. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government, which is the right to rule, will rest on his shoulders. I want to pause there, because we've an inherited a nature which instinctively wants to put the governing of our lives on our own shoulders. And our shoulders were not quite that broad. We weren't created, really, to handle that weight and the load. And so the good news of the coming Messiah was that the right to rule will rest on his shoulders. Isn't that awesome? And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his government. Is that what your Bible says? Check it again. It doesn't say there will be no end to his government. It's even better than that. It says there will be no end to the increase of his government. Now you think about that, what does that mean? It means God's kingdom must be eternally expanding, never stopping. Think of that for a moment. This is incredibly powerful because it is a divine perspective. Now I know that there are many things related in Scripture which we can interpret in different ways, and there are probably as many different perspectives on some aspects of Scripture as there are people in the kingdom. One of the perspectives which many people have imbibed or inherited is that the end is going to be incredibly dark, and there will be the increase of wickedness, and the love of most will grow cold, so we will hold on like rats on a sinking ship and hope for Jesus to come and rescue us from this predicament. Now that viewpoint has some merit because there is an increase of evil to a degree. The challenge is it does not, from my perspective, it does not fit with the bulk of how Scripture interprets the plan of God. Because I do not see in Scripture us hanging on by the skin of our teeth until Jesus comes to rescue us out of whatever situations we're in. I do not see Jesus coming back for a hag. I see him coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. See, if you only read part of Isaiah 61, you will say, yes, darkness is on the face of the earth, on the earth, and deep darkness is over the peoples. And you just stop before the but. But the glory of the Lord is rising upon us. There is an increase that is wired into the DNA of the kingdom that you and I cannot escape. We can ignore it, but we cannot delete it. It is in the DNA of everything about God. There will be no end to the increase of his government awe of peace.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Yeah.
Not our zeal, as important as that is, it's the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to accomplish this. God's kingdom ever expanding. I want to just read a few other verses which tap into the similar DNA. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Do you get that? It doesn't say dimmer and dimmer until it's snuffed out. It says brighter and brighter until the full day. Now it's true, we see in part, we see as through a glass darkly. But if you want to tap into the DNA of God, you must tap into the DNA of increase. This is really important because there is a demonic strategy to alter our basic premise, to alter our template, the view that we have of the world, because we'll interpret everything in the light of that template, you see.
Right.
It's really, really important. Now, this is not escapism. Sometimes we have a difficulty reconciling. If that is the case, then how come I'm going through what I'm going through? We'll look at that shortly. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Okay, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Speaking of Jesus, whom we've just been celebrating his birthday, Luke 2:40, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Then when he gets to adulthood, Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. It's interesting, it's fascinating, that statement fascinates me, considering he was God. Okay? So, but as a man, he kept increasing in wisdom and stature. What do you see? You see a journey of increase. It is the path of DNA. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Who is the head? What does that speak of? It speaks of progression, for sure. And it speaks of increase, of growing in relationship, but not just growing in independence, but growing up into him, being entwined around him. Which is interesting enough, that verse which we sang in worship this morning, they wait upon the Lord. To wait upon means to entwine around, like a vine would attach itself. It's not as strong as the tree, but it winds itself around the tree. And that renew word means exchange. And there are some brilliant exchanges that God has for us, which I want to touch on this morning. And the brilliant thing about God's exchange, it is not a swap.
Yeah.
What's a swap? It's trading two things of equal value. The exchange that God has for us can be more likened to what Karen or the members of her trade might give to someone when they step onto an airline and they get an upgrade. That's the exchange that God has for us. Because as a part of the journey, there is increase, there is upgrade that God has for us. So as we look into the year from this vantage point, I want you to be totally certain about this thing. God has increase in mind for you.
Yes.
Not decrease, increase.
Yes.
In all spheres of life, because that is what kingdom DNA is all about. That is his DNA. Now the enemy may throw some curveballs at you, all right? But recognize this, that even those things can be turned for increase.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
I love the scripture in Psalm 84, verse 5. It says this, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." Now, this is how the NIV renders it. Other versions render it, "in whose hearts are the highways to Zion." But I love how the NIV renders it. It's a similar thought, but it just phrased differently. "Whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." I like that. Okay. Why? Because it has inbuilt into it the commitment and the frame of mind, "I'm traveling on. I'm not going to camp where I am." Okay. This is pioneering. This is adventuring. We're continuing to move on in the journey. "Blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." Now, the context, of course, that was written would have been when on a three times a year, the different tribes would come from the various parts of Israel and make their way up to Jerusalem for the feasts. And we'll talk about some other aspects of that verse in a minute. But I want to talk about some of the exchanges or some of the upgrades that are available to us. They're not based on performance. They are based in the context of relationship. Now, some of those you may already have got your upgrade, which is cool, because you just get to explore it more, okay? Even your upgrade is going to have increase. But there are upgrades in terms of ability, in terms of revelation, in terms of character, and in terms of perspective. And I want to just for us to look for a minute at one upgrade of perspective, which I totally love. Never thought about it before until I read one of the prophetic encouragements that Lynn put on Facebook, which she does two or three times a week. This was a little while ago now. But I want to read it to you because it encapsulates something which I hope you will find incredibly encouraging. One of the challenges when you embrace the concept of increase is how do you handle a decrease? See, there's nowhere in Scripture that it talks about your Christian life is going to be without fail one long mountaintop experience. The scriptures are very real in the sense that we will face trial and we will face loss. Well, that does not sound like increase, does it? How do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile the fact that some of us sitting in this room, even as we face another year, are inwardly wishing, "I hope to heck it's not like last year." Some of us may be dealing with loss. It may be financial loss. It may be relational loss. It may be loss of hope, something that we had hoped would go in a certain way, and it just went pear-shaped. We've got to be able to reconcile that with what God talks about increase. Now, I want to read to you this prophetic word. "Taking two steps backward after taking one step forwards, maybe that's not failure. Maybe it's a dance." Taking two steps backward after taking one step forward, maybe that's not failure. Maybe it's a dance. Life is not a linear journey. It's not moving forward in a straight line inexorably toward your goals. Looking at it that way produces the "am I going forwards or backwards right now?" or "taking ground or losing ground" type of thinking. Especially when something unexpected shifts plans and even goalposts. Think of life differently. Now, this is Papa speaking to Linny, okay? This is not Linny thinking something up. Think of life differently. Maybe life is really like a divine dance, Sometimes a step forward, sometimes two backwards, sometimes one to the side, but always with you and me moving together, making something beautiful out of the music provided by life's sounds, unheard frequencies, and happenings. This is so beautiful. In the midst of your shopping trip, your business affairs, your home life, allow yourself to get caught up in the beauty of the dance. I will lead you in the dance. And I will help you to move in time to the eternal song being sung over your life. And that's a scriptural truth. Who's singing an eternal song over your life? Papa. He rejoices about you. He gets so excited, he twirls, he spins with joy over you, and he sings over you. You may not hear that song, but the music is happening and the song is being sung over you. So you might as well dance to it. Papa God. Come on now. There is so much in our culture that's built upon success-failure mentality. And you could look at that way of thinking as a cop-out, especially if you're very performance-driven. Because there is so much that's inbuilt into our culture and our psyche of having to evaluate a day by what we've performed, what we've created, and kind of did this work out. When in fact, it's a lot more accurate to view things about did they turn out how we expected or not how we expected. And Daddy is saying, I will lead you in the dance. Which means he's the senior partner. All right? So he may lead you in a direction that you didn't anticipate. And especially might be a curveball to us if we have that linear frame of reference. It's got to be no deviation. See, one of the things that God is giving to his people as an upgrade. Now, because all of these upgrades have always been available. They are part of kingdom DNA. They're part of kingdom life. But the point is, if you look at life as a journey, which it is, it's just not always in a straight line. It is a journey of progressive growth. While these upgrades may have always been there, we don't always... Well, put it this way, we don't grab them all at once and we don't walk into them all at once because they're upgrades that we have to learn to incorporate into our lifestyle and that we grow into those as a result of growing up into Him, yeah. Into the head. In other words, we get to understand more what His frame of reference is like, how He really sees things, how He really feels about things, and you know that you get to be like the people you hang out with, right? The more that we hang around, the more His DNA, His character, His divine nature, which is a part of what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature, it begins to change and we find that we weren't viewing life how we used to. Why? Because whether we understood it or not, we just walked into an upgrade. See? Beautiful. Now, I will lead you in the dance. What does that sound like? Sounds to me like the scripture. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We're using an idiom of the day with oxen linked together, but it's the same thing. Be linked with me. Let me lead you in the dance. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy or comfortable and fits well. My burden is light. And the thing is, even in our Christian walk, many of us have come up with religious expectations that are not within a bull's roar of actually coming from Jesus himself. They come from things that we've put on the Christian faith, and they weigh us down. And life does become a treadmill of performance, hoping to earn something that is already ours. Because you cannot be any more loved than you are right now. It's impossible. You cannot be any more accepted than you are right now. So one of the upgrades that God is bringing people's focus onto is an upgrade in terms of my weariness or my heaviness for His rest. It's not a swap. It's definitely an upgrade.
Amen.
But here's the thing. If the airline person at the desk says, Rob Packer, I can upgrade you from economy class to first class. What am I going to think? Bring it on. So she says, if you'll just give me your economy ticket, I'll give you the first class one. And my response is, you want my economy ticket? I paid for this thing. No way you have it. What's going on there? To get the upgrade, you must surrender what you already have. Because you're going to get something far better. Can you see that? You can't have them both. And I want you to have a fresh understanding of it, and I'm speaking to my own heart. The burdens and the heaviness you carry, you cannot hang on to them and experience the upgrade of His rest. You must give them to Him. Now that's not escapism. Don't let the enemy con you into that. It's the ultimate reality. Okay, because that, we might think, well, that's being irresponsible. Well, yes, it is if you mean that you're no longer in charge. You're no longer the one responsible. But you see, the Bible does not advocate carelessness. Okay, it's not being careless or not caring about things. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're saying surrender the burdens. And this whole aspect of rest is that more and more, both in Christian ministry, but I mean, ministry is not just defined to working for a church. It's right through every sector of society. It's Christians living where they work. But there is coming a newfound rest and a buoyancy of spirit to people as they begin to understand, wow, my Christian life was so much hard work, but you know, I'm finding it is so much fun. Why? Now, what I'm about to tell you is not license, but I believe an accurate understanding of grace. When you step into Him, when you link in relationship with Him, you say goodbye permanently to all the have-tos.
That's right.
And you get to embrace a whole new set of get-tos. There is nothing that you have to do in your relationship with Him that is a requirement for you to be loved. But you get to live out of that rest. And this is so important. This is an upgrade that God is saying, come on now, this is available for you. Minister out of and labor out of it, out of my rest, out of that absolute security of how profoundly loved you are and the fact that I've taken care of everything. Here's another upgrade, very similar. My anxiety for His peace. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which fries the circuits. That's my rendition of surpasses all comprehension. You can't get your head around it. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it is natural for us to have concerns when issues face us and things crop up. We don't know how they're going to resolve. But anxiety or worry is another name for anxiety. Worry is more taking it on board and saying, I've got to handle this myself. Your shoulders were not built to handle the governing of your life. It's His shoulders that are. So, what about an upgrade? my anxiety for his peace. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus care about your current set of circumstances?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Absolutely, no question. Let me ask you another question. Is he worried about them?
No.
That's interesting. So what that means is part of the upgrade is saying, Jesus, help me to walk in this upgrade. Because I don't want to be irresponsible and just say, oh, I don't care about things. That's not what... But Jesus, I want to walk in your peace in the midst of unanswered questions and unresolved situations. I want to tap into how you're feeling about this current set of circumstances. And it's based on his perspective. And my perspective is somewhat limited. But we can tap into the upgrade of the mind of Christ. Now, I'm not just blabbering off just trite doctrinal truths, but I'll be honest with you up front, I am talking about stuff that I have not fully walked into yet either, because I'm in for these upgrades.
Yeah.
I am in no way, shape or form standing here saying I've got all the upgrades, hey, come join me. No, we're in this together. This is a journey that we are on, but the thing is, you've got to surrender your economy class ticket if you want to go to first class. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. Another upgrade is what we talked about, what we actually sang about this morning, Isaiah 41, yet those that wait upon or for the Lord will exchange their strength or gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. So what's the upgrade? My strength for his. See, my strength is the things that I'm confident that I can do within my own set of abilities and my skill set. And generally I feel pretty safe and confident. The challenge comes when I'm required to do something that is beyond those. Oh, help. You know, we're amazingly complex beings, aren't we? Because we're still in the process of learning. Because sometimes I really feel tired. And I look at this verse and I say, well, whose strength am I living in? And half the time I think I'm living in God's. But if I'm really honest, Lord, is there something that I'm missing out? Because sometimes I feel really drained. Now, it's not a thing to feel guilty, feeling drained. It's, wow, God, I thank you. There's an upgrade here somewhere. I don't quite see what it involves or how it is. But Jesus, your plan for me is increase. So I'm saying I want that upgrade. I want to know what it is to so entwine myself around you in relationship that I'm my confidence shifts from what I'm able to do and handle and understand and work out, and it shifts to the huge cowrie that my little vine is beginning to wrap itself around, which is way more stable. Now that's a journey because we're growing up into him. But is that an upgrade you want? Sure is for me. Because I'm sick of getting tired and worn out. Okay, I want to tap into this reality in a brand new way. Another upgrade is this, found in Isaiah 61. This is where Jesus quoted part of this scripture, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the captives, or those that are afflicted. So, if it's good news, you're probably looking at an upgrade.
Yeah.
And this is what the context of that scripture, what its first focus is on, to those who mourn in Zion. Now let me ask you a question. When do you mourn?
After a big loss.
Right, after a big loss. When you have lost something, almost automatically you will experience some measure of grief. Now that is not wrong, neither is it inappropriate. But what it's really important for us to understand in the context of kingdom DNA, in the context of a kingdom which is eternally increasing, and God's DNA for us is increase, And yet we go through, in this season on earth, we experience times where we genuinely suffer loss. And it hurts. It may, in most cases, may be entirely out of our control. Whether someone's walked out on a relationship with us, whether our finances have gone down the gurgler, whether something has happened and we're experiencing loss, these upgrades are specifically designed for the person who is in mourning in Zion. New equivalent, counter context, the church, the kingdom. It is not inappropriate for you to be in relationship with Jesus and yet go through a time of loss and to feel hurt as a result of that. But in the same context, these are the upgrades that are available. Giving them a garland instead of ashes. A garland was something that was worn for celebration and also for victory. Ashes was the normal way that you would adorn yourself when you're going through grieving. So in the midst of experiencing loss, there is an aspect of celebration and of conquering that is not mental gymnastics. It is not denial. It is not trying to suppress those feelings like there's anything wrong with them. You look at the times when Paul says, I'm rejoicing constantly, but I'm going through grieving. It's almost a contradiction or a paradox, isn't it? But it is possible to encounter both of those at the same time. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Yeah. Whose oil of joy is it? It's his. He was anointed with the oil of joy above his companions. So in the time of loss, there is something aspect. Jesus cries with us, make no mistake about it. He's not saying, what are you doing weeping? Come up here and see what it's really like. No, no. He understands. He was known as a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, believe you me. But at the same time, he was anointed with the oil of joy over and above his companions. Now, I'm not saying that I've got my head entirely around that, but I do know that in the midst of difficulties, there is a divine supernatural upgrade that is linked in and rooted in the Godhead, the person of Jesus and our Father himself. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Now, what I want to link that back to a verse that we looked back earlier but didn't fully read. Psalm 84. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through. It does not say in the unlikely event of them encountering. It says as they pass through. Notice they don't camp there. They're going through it as they pass through the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. Whoa. What that means is you may weep with genuine good reason. Don't knock yourself around for that. But understand this, in the covenant, in the relationship with Jesus, there is the DNA, there is the divine supernatural material to turn that situation into something that will feed you and others.
Yeah.
It will become a source of nourishment to you. That thing that you look at and you think, flip, I'm backsliding, I've gone two steps backwards. I was far further ahead last year, look what's happened now. In your assessment, understand this, you are in a covenant of increase. You are in a kingdom of DNA of increase. Even this temporary setback, which may be two steps backward for you, is part of the dance. You can turn it into gold. You can turn it into springs. You can go through that situation, but tap into the divine characteristics, the divine nature that enables you to not allow it to defile you, but to actually do what the oyster does with that irritation that comes into the shell. It covers it and turns it into a pearl. Now, it's God that enables you to do that. You don't try that on your own. It'll wear you out. But what I'm saying is, those valleys of weeping, those two steps backwards, those times of anxiety are totally consistent with the faithfulness of God. He has not left you. But as you're looking forward, you can say, God, in this situation is an inbuilt upgrade. I want the upgrade. Isn't that exciting? Because it doesn't matter what, from your perspective, the enemy may throw at you. It must so frustrate him, because everything that is seemingly challenging for you has an upgrade built into it. The devil didn't put it there. God put it there, because it's part of kingdom DNA. Here's another upgrade that God's bringing to his people: servanthood for sonship. The servant mentality. The older brother. I did everything you asked. Everything you asked. You never gave me a goat to celebrate with. He was sitting on an inheritance, and because of his relationship with Father, he had the mentality of a servant. He didn't enjoy his sonship. And God's saying, come on, there's an upgrade here. Give me your servanthood. I want you to experience what it's like to be a genuine son or daughter. Here's another upgrade: performance-based acceptance for his love and acceptance. Wow, when you get off that treadmill, don't you love it? Serious? What an upgrade. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this: now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse: faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Wow, what a promise to lay hold of at the beginning of a year. Jesus, you've called me. And he didn't just call you at the beginning of this year. He called you from before the foundation of the world. But we're re-looking at and re-appraising that call. Faithful is he who calls you. He also will bring it to pass. Wow. So I just want to have a moment of quiet here. I invite you just to close your eyes for no other reason than that it minimizes distraction. And I'm very aware that these upgrades that I've been talking about are not an instant fix, in the sense that we don't just flick a switch and we're operating in the fullness of it. But as we have already been journeying with the Lord this morning and been so gratefully encouraged by his declaration to us, it's a brand new day. It's a new year. I'm doing new things in you. Wow. If any of these upgrades have kind of rung a bell in your spirit, and you're saying, Lord, man, I want to learn to explore that upgrade this year. Why don't you get out your economy class ticket? Maybe that looks like any anxiety that you've been hanging on to. Understandable, no doubt, but still is an upgrade. Maybe is heaviness. Maybe that economy class ticket may represent weariness for you. And you want to explore the upgrade of his rest. You know, there's something significant about saying, God, that's got my name on it. Now, it does say he will bring it to pass, but it doesn't say that he will do it to the exclusion of our involvement. It requires our participation and our desire. If you are experiencing anxiety or you're experiencing grief, please do not allow the enemy to whack you around the head with condemnation. Just send it back where it came from. Return to sender. Doesn't have to live where you live, because it doesn't come from the Lord. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there'll be something incredibly significant by you identifying any of the upgrades that you want. Maybe it's you've been really hassled by the treadmill of performance, and you know that sometimes you get free of it and other times it just wraps its tentacles around your feet again. And that we're not talking about New Year's resolutions here, believe me, okay? We're not talking about something that you're going to try and do in your own strength. But what we are talking about is identifying in the Spirit the upgrades that are available to you and say, yes, Jesus, this year I want to explore more of that. I invite you to give me revelation. I invite from your storehouse. And as a part of the equipping and my growing up into him who is the head, and a part of my package of increase, I want that upgrade. Why don't you just talk to the Lord about it right now? Father, we're not just trying to do mental gymnastics here. But we are taking you at your word. We're responding to the good news. We're saying, yes, Lord. We receive by faith that which you are making available to us. And we thank you that you'll be with us every step of the way, encouraging us. And where we encounter places of testing, trial, problems, weeping, Father, we thank you that even those things, you will enable us to turn into springs of water that will not only nourish us, they will nourish everyone that we communicate. That is testimony to how you turned this whole thing around and you made it increase. Jesus, we thank you for it. In your precious and your awesome name. Amen. 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 I just want to finish by just going to the keyboard and just to sing something over you. To sing is very old. It's a declaration from the heart of God Himself, expressing His desire, His anticipated plan over His people. And what He required the priesthood in the Old Covenant to do was to take this declaration and regularly and consistently to speak it over the congregation. And He said, when you do this, I myself will make it happen. I will bring it to pass. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine on you. Lord, in every situation, it's gonna bless you. He will watch over you and keep you from all harm. As he looks on you, smile on his face will be like sunshine over you. As he shines on you, lights up your way, and he will be gracious unto you, not condemning, not belittling. Oh, his grace is sufficient for you, and he'll lift up his countenance on you, and he'll sing over you. And what is his, he gives to you, not as the world gives, he gives to you, but he gives you. His peace, be still, his peace, he gives you his peace, all is well.